5 to 10 minutes, share it, put out a couple defects of character, and we'll do 6 and 7 and move on. All righty? So Greg is going to touch on fear a little bit.
On page 67. It says, notice that fear is tracking alongside of difficulties with Mr. Brown, Ms. Jones, the employer, and the wife. If you look on page 65, you can see it. Anybody see that? The short work somehow touches every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortunes we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classified with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. How I did that is I went back to my inventory and pulled out all the fears and made a list. We put them on paper, even though I had no resentment in connection with them. Then I was asked, why did I have that fear? What most of the time what happened with me when I asked myself that question, I came up with another fear. So let me read the rest of this and I'll tell you what I did. This wasn't because self-reliance failed us. Fear is about self-reliance. Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any of it. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there's a better way. We think so, for we are now on a different basis. The basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite self. We're in the world to play the role He assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us and humbly rely on Him, does He enable us to match calamity with serenity. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We laugh at those who think spirituality is a way of weakness. Paradoxically, is the way of strength. The verdict of all of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God, and instead we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. This, what I was told, was a prayer for fear. We ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. When I got in fear, some fear cropped up for me, I was to say that. And the book says that once we commence to outgrow fear, and that's been my experience. If I catch it right away, once I let it fester, then it's hard for me to get out of it. I get out and I come back, get out and I come back. So I was told to make a list of all my fears, then go back to the list, because some of them are the same, like looking bad and feeling bad is two relatively the same, and I was asked to cross out the ones that I thought was the same, were basically the same, because the whole idea for me was to get down to the basic fear. Just I'll give you the example. Say I had a fear of water. Well, I drank it, I take a shower in it, so that ain't it. So maybe it's a fear of drowning.
Huh? You're not getting clean enough?
No. Fear of drowning.
Oh, like what? Shower?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Since I drank it, I take a shower in it. So the fear must be the fear of drowning. So if I take that to another level, it's the fear of dying. That's the ultimate fear. So when I got an inventory, the basic fear was of trusting God. And that's what the book says. That's the only fear I got. I wouldn't be in fear if I was trusting God. Bottom line. That's it.
On page 68, it moves into now about sex. So what they've given us so far is three inventories. They've given us resentment inventory, they've given us fear inventory, and they've given us sex inventory. It tells us many of us needed an overhauling there. What I've found out over the years is that the next two things that follows drugs and alcohol is sex and money. That's the next two obsessions. When the obsession to drink or to use is removed, usually what follows is an obsession for sex and relationships, or an obsession to make money. Look at your experience. How many people in the fellowship do you know that fall prey to going out because of a so-called relationship? So, another important piece to freedom. Over on 69, they give us 9 questions to look at. And they're questions that pertain to any name, and I've written inventory with just real sexual relationships, and I've written inventory, sex inventory with real names and fantasized names. Meaning, I haven't had sex with them, but I sure wish I could. And I've looked at all 9 questions pertaining to those individuals. And it says, we do not want to be the arbitrator of anyone's sex conduct. We all had sex problems. Oh. We all have sex problems. We'd hardly be human if we didn't. What can we do about them? We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. So what they do is, again, they bring it back to me. Why do they keep bringing it back to me? Because I've always lived outside of me. In Bill Story, it talked about 3 dimensions of living: physical, mental, and emotional. All my life until I got to the process of recovery, that's where I lived, in those 3 dimensions: physical, mental, and emotional. Now what happens is that I begin to gravitate to and move into this 4th dimension. In order to do that, I need some stuff removed. I need to get some stuff out of the way. I don't know about you, but sex is real powerful, man. I don't know if you admit it, but just about the same lengths I went to for my drugs, I went to for my sex. A lot of times I wonder what if I was a sex addict before I was a dope fiend. I'm just going to tell you straight up. I started masturbating before I started drinking. Consistently. Regularly. I've attended Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, Recovering Couples Anonymous, SA. Sex Anonymous. It's a very powerful area. It's also an area that's not talked about in the rooms enough. Kills a lot of alcoholics and a lot of addicts. A lot of it is encrusted in dependence also. Al-Anon stuff. So I've been to Al-Anon. How free do you want to be? So I make a list. Fortunately, they were all women. Every time. And they said, where had I been selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate? Whom had I hurt? Did I unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, bitterness? Where was I at fault? What could I have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. So 9 questions pertaining to every single name in your sex inventory. And as I said, I've written inventory on real relationships, sexual relationships. I've written sexual inventory on real and fantasized about sexual relationships. I've written sex inventory on family, personal relationships. I've answered these 9 questions pertaining to God and to myself in an effort to get free and stay free. There's another approach that you can take along with it. After you answer the 9 questions, you can write a paragraph on each relationship, free flowing. What was it about? Was it a one-night stand? Did it mean anything? Just a brief history of that relationship. Whatever comes, write it. Whatever flows off your pen, put it down on paper. It says we put this down on paper and looked at it. In this way, I tried to shape a sane and sound ideal for my future sex life. I'm still shaping it. This last piece of work I did is more specific than it's ever been, but it's still a work in progress. How transparent are you in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous? Does your home group and your peers really know your dark side? Do you freely let them see your dark side in an effort to get accountability and to get free? Do you have confidants in somebody that you're accountable to? Do you stay up front with who you are, no matter what it is? Is there somebody in your life that knows every single thing about you? Every single thing. No holds barred. So I answer the 9 questions. I can do a paragraph. I go to God and I ask God to help me shape a sane and sound ideal for a future sex life. I go back through this inventory, this sexual inventory, and I ask myself, next to each name in this inventory, was this relation selfish or not? All the time it was about selfish. All the time it was about me and what can I get out of it. The majority of time it was about sex. It was about money. And it was about me getting what I wanted. Majority of the time they were never in the relationship. They were there to serve me. My ideals and my morals as far as women and relationship has changed dramatically. Are they perfect? No. Where I come from, there's only 2 things a woman could do for me. And until I got here and got to this process, it had never been smashed. This process smashed it. So sex inventory puts me on an even keel with you guys. Because society says man is better than woman. Even though it's gravitated a little bit to equality. Basically, society says man is man, macho. In my recovery process, that's not true. There's no more God in me than is in you. God loves me no more than he loves you. What I'm capable of doing, you're capable of doing. I just might be physically stronger than you. Maybe. Maybe. But what happens, and what's happened for me in inventory, is that I've been woken up. Because I was asleep. After I wake up, it becomes my responsibility to stay awake. How do you stay awake? I stay awake with new experiences. In the very beginning, I sense God instructions and directions to come here with an open mind for a new experience. That's what my recovery has been for the last 23 years. I look for newness. I look for different. Align with what's mapped out in this recovery process. As long as you don't deviate from it, and it's in this book, I'm down. Show me. Why? Because it works. When it says how it works, there's numerous ways in which to get to God. We just have one way, the way our lineage of people have done it. But there's numerous ways to get to God in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous. We don't have a monopoly. This is just one way. If you've done something in the past that works, I encourage you to do it until you can't do it no more. Because your spirit will tell you it's time for something new, because what you've been doing will stop working. You will be restless, irritable, discontent, full of fear, sitting in the rooms, going to 90 meetings in 90 days. The Spirit of God will speak to you and say it's time. Exactly what you asked him to do in the third step. Be my father, my director, my employer, my principal. He will begin to do that. And he will leave you the choice as to whether you follow or not. So sex inventory changed my whole outlook on women and relationships and marriage. And it freed me. Because I grew up with blinders. It says, whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow towards it. It says, to sum up about sex on page 70, we earnestly pray for the right ideal and for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for strength to do the right thing. If sex is very troublesome, I'm going to try this. I don't know how many people, be honest. How many people in here, sex is troublesome for them? Well, here's what they tell you to do. If sex is very troublesome, how many people is very troublesome? We throw ourselves the harder into working with others, into helping others. So if sex is very troublesome for you, throw yourself harder into helping others. Just do what it tells you to do. Don't look for a cure and don't look for, to be perfect. Look for progress, though. If you got to have it every day and it gets to that you only got to have it, you only get it 3 times a week and you okay, look for progress. Look for the glass that's got something in it as opposed to it ain't got nothing in it. Give yourself a break. We'll talk more about it in the 10th step. Lighten up on yourself. This ain't about perfection. This is about any progress that we make being who we are. We are individuals, men and women, that have been the scourges of the earth. You real guys, you real alcoholics, real addicts. Don't get it twisted. I know everybody in here is not a real alcoholic and a real addict. But you real guys that went to any length for your drugs and alcohol, bar none. And you sit in a retreat this weekend, and you're willing to be open-minded to have a new experience as much as you can, take note of the progress in your life. Give yourself a break. So, am I convinced God can remove whatever self-will that has blocked me off from Him, myself and others? That's a question that you want to ask yourself at the end of writing inventory. Are you convinced? God can remove whatever self-will that has blocked you off from Him, yourself, and others. So you guys wrote a piece of inventory. I'd like you to share it with your partner. One share it. The other one listens, point out any defects that you hear. Then the other one read. Do the same, vice versa. Then any fears that you have, talk about it. And if sex inventory ties into it, because I know I only asked you to write one, I think, one resentment. Right, and one sex. Why don't you guys take about 10 minutes to do that? Talk with your partner. 5 to 10 minutes.